Hi there, ladies. This is Zenobia Bernier, and I'm here to share on Revelation chapter 14, which is session 10 of our study. The title of our lesson this week is Let Them Choose. I really like that title because we all like to make our own decisions, don't we? We've been like that since we were born. Those of you with little ones at home, you live this day in and day out right now. They want to choose what time they go to bed, what they eat, what they wear, what they do, and we are no different. We don't want to be told what to do or think. We want the right to choose. Well, praise God, though he could have created us to be like robots that move, think, and speak on his command, he has given us a free will to make our own choices. It sounds great, right? Well, it's only great if we choose the right thing. And the Lord makes it simple. He doesn't give us a ton of choices, and I appreciate that, because the more choices I have, the more likely I am to choose the wrong thing. When my friend's daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, she wanted to start choosing her own outfits to wear. Now, while her mom wanted to allow her to have this independence, some of the choices she made were, let's just say, not the combinations her mom would have picked for her child to be seen in public. So she decided to put two outfits together and then let her daughter choose which one she wanted to wear. It was a win-win for everyone. Mom wasn't horrified by her choices, and daughter was able to make the final choice. According to multiple websites, the average person makes around 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000. Is this true? Who knows? I have no idea how these sources came to this conclusion, but it seems to be widely accepted by scientists. So, what if I had told you last night that you would have to make 35,000 decisions? How would you have responded? I gotta tell you, I'm not sure I would have gotten out of bed this morning. That seems too daunting to think about. But if I told you you would have to only make one decision today, wouldn't that seem attainable? Well, the truth is, you do only have to make one decision today. Do you choose to make Jesus the Lord over your life? Or do you choose to let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life rule over you? The choice is yours. Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. When it comes to our spiritual lives, the Lord only gives us two choices, life or death. Throughout the Word of God, he repeats these choices time and time again. He not only presents these two choices to each generation, but he also explains in great detail what will unfold as a result of the choice each person makes. Then he says, let them choose. We see the same scenario being played out in our chapter this week. And ladies, we must not study the book of Revelation solely for the purpose of knowing what's going to happen in the last days. We also need to study it to know how we ought to be living today. In verse 1, John saw Jesus standing on Mount Zion with 144,000 Jews who had accepted Jesus as their Lord, which we read about in chapter 7. They had the name of Jesus and the Father written on their foreheads. They were sealed and protected. It was known that they belonged to the Father. If you're a Christian, then you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, indicating that you belong to him too. Ephesians 1:13. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Now, while we may not have his name visibly written on our foreheads, others should be able to look at us and know that we are his. The way we live our lives should not only suggest, but declare that we belong to the Father. Could that be said about you today? Do your decisions clearly express that the name of God is in the middle of your thoughts? Do the things that you say clearly articulate that the Word of God is on your tongue and in your heart? Do your actions clearly demonstrate that your body is indeed a living and holy sacrifice unto God? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves today, no matter how long ago we accepted Jesus as our Lord, because that's how others will know whom we belong to. In verse 1, it also says the 144,000 preached the gospel. As we learned in chapter 7, it was because of their obedience more people will be saved than could ever be counted. That's hopeful news, but remember, those who will be saved after the rapture will have to die for their faith. It's also important to understand that this revival was the result of these 144,000 who chose to share the gospel. You see, they not only chose Jesus as Lord, but they also chose his cause. What cause are you living to promote? And notice I said living to promote. It's not enough to agree with Jesus, but we must live for him as well. Are we sharing the gospel with those who are lost around us? Because if we choose Jesus, then we are choosing his cause. It's very common for believers to talk about other people's need for Jesus without ever actually talking to these same people about Jesus. I would venture to say that all of us have been guilty of this. But God uses his children to promote his cause, and we are his children. And there are a lot of lost people around us, maybe even in our own homes. And the Lord is calling us to be the messengers of his love. Imagine the impact we could make if we just stopped shaking our heads in disgust at every news story that reveals the evil in this lost and dying world, and instead we shake a leg and share the gospel. Because there's going to come a time when there is no more time. Listen, we're not responsible if others choose to reject the good news, but we are responsible if we choose not to share it. We're called to this, ladies. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Are you doing that? What's stopping you if you aren't? What's stopping us? Is it laziness? Complacency? Fear? This evil world is loud and proud. Why are we so quiet? Romans 1:16-17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" It's not just faith in Jesus as our Savior, ladies, but it's also faith in the strength and protection of God that should spur us on to believe that he has enabled us to do that which he has called us to do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including sharing the gospel with the lost around us. If you lack courage, ask God for it, and then trust him to give it to you, and then go do the work that he's called you to do. Ask the women in your group to pray for you in that regard. In fact, why not end your group time this week with a time of corporate prayer for boldness, for all of us to share the gospel as we ought to? Let's choose to serve the Lord and promote his cause. In verses 4 and 5, John continues to describe the 144,000. They lived a life of faith and obedience. They did not compromise in public or in private. 1 Peter 1:13-17. "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, 'You must be holy because I am holy.' And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents." Is there something in your life right now that's getting in the way of you living a life that reflects your choice to follow Jesus? If so, today is the day to deal with it. Let's not offer any more excuses, sisters. The Lord doesn't accept them anyways. But he will accept our repentance. He loves us. He'll forgive our sins if we confess. But he also commands obedience. And his word says in 2 Peter 1:3, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." Everything we need. That means he's given us what we need to choose to spend time in his word every day, and in prayer, even on the days that we're tired, busy, or don't feel like it. It means he's given us what we need to choose to forgive those who've wronged us. It means he's given us what we need to choose to trust him and not complain, even when we don't understand where he's taking us or where he's allowing us to remain. It means he's given those of you who are married what you need to choose to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, as is described in 1 Peter 3. It means he's given you mothers what you need to choose to lovingly and patiently train your children up in the way they should go and not give up on your prodigals. It means he's given those of us who are single what we need to choose to be sexually pure. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8, and I'm reading it from the Amplified Bible. It says, "For this is the will of God, that you be sanctified, separated, and set apart from sin, that you abstain and back away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, being available for God's purpose and separated from things profane, not to be used in lustful passion, and that in this matter of sexual misconduct, no man shall transgress and defraud his brother, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we have told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness, to be dedicated and set apart by behavior that pleases him, whether in public or in private. So whoever rejects and disregards this is not merely rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you to dwell in you and empower you to overcome temptation." Ladies, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Girls, choose the way that leads to life. If you're living a life of compromise, confess it now. Don't wait. Repent. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. Point out anything in us that offends you and lead us along the path of everlasting life. Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Unite our hearts to fear your name. Ladies, the Lord loves us, and he delights to answer those types of prayers. Those came from the book of Psalms. Let us choose the way of righteousness, obedience, and faith. Because girls, John lays it out in verses 6 to 20, there's a judgment coming because God is just. Those who choose to reject the Lord will face judgment. John describes the torment that awaits those who choose to receive the mark of the beast. And in verse 11, it says that they have no rest day and night. That's forever. How do you feel after one night without rest? There's a reason that sleep deprivation is used as a form of torture for prisoners of war. And God's judgment will be far worse and ongoing. But he also describes the blessing that awaits those who choose to receive Jesus. In verse 13, it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Two distinct choices, one important decision: everlasting life in heaven or endless torment in hell. We have the same decision to make right now. Which do you choose? Ezekiel 33:11. "As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live." There may be someone listening to this podcast today who has not surrendered her life to Jesus. And I would be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to choose him right now. Salvation is but a prayer away. If you know you need to do this, or if you're not certain that you're saved, or you've walked away from Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Forgive me. I turn from my sin right now, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed to receive Jesus right now, that was the best decision. You chose well. Now remember, we're presented with this same choice every day. May God give us the strength and understanding to choose him in every thought we think, in every word we say, and in every deed we do, so that others will know whom we belong to. God bless you, ladies.